Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, happy Monday to you all. That's right, we're back at it here on what is August 24, 2020. I trust that you all had a great weekend out there. I know I did. You know, watched a ton of NBA basketball like I've been doing for the last few weeks now, as we are now in the NBA playoffs. I know that the NHL playoffs are also taking place, so you hockey fans are certainly happy out there as well. And in the midst of that, I played a great round of golf yesterday. I tell you, Al Woods, his golf game is looking pretty solid. Not Dustin Johnson solid, but pretty solid. My goodness, did you see what DJ did over the weekend at the Northern Trust? I mean, simply amazing. And, you know, he was like on 59 watch on Friday. Just ridiculous, right? But welcome to the show. We've got a few things to get to. A few things, because there's a lot happening as we inch closer and closer to what will be the end of August, the end of this month, as well as what also means the fall just around the corner. You know, it's just, you know, that the reality of they're not going to be any Big Ten fall football, that reality is going to be a really tough pill to swallow for many people. Just really all of us, right? You know, in the midst of this pandemic, which, yes, does still exist, and it's still happening, it's still infecting people, there are still hot spots across our nation. In the midst of the pandemic, you know, Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, he made the announcement, you know, a couple of weeks ago now, that there will be no Big Ten fall football, and they will be looking toward playing come the spring of 2021. And that has sparked up many different conversations, more so in the Big Ten than the Pac-12, because the Big Ten and the Pac-12, you know, right after the Big Ten made the announcement, the Pac-12, about an hour later, put out a statement. And, you know, you got the other big conferences like the ACC, also the SEC, right, the Big 12, still saying that we are going to proceed. We are going to have college football. And that has really, you know, sparked up a lot of conversation from different parents out there who are like, okay, why did the Big Ten seemingly pull the trigger so early? And as I've always said, look, it's just a matter of time before these other conferences say, okay, we can't play college football for the rest of this year, and we have to wait to 2021 as well. And look, they may get as far as maybe even playing like one game. They may. But right now, it's impossible to really contain this thing unless you are the NBA, where you have a bubble and players and other personnel like coaches and coaching staff and trainers, they are disciplined and not going anywhere. Unless you have that kind of a system in place, you know, the chances of you not having some kind of outbreak are are very slim. Simple as that. But there's a lot of parents out there who are still angry, still frustrated that, you know, their son, nephew, cousin doesn't get to go out there and show off his college football talents for an opportunity of playing in the NFL. And I think one of the biggest reasons why you're seeing more gripe from parents in the Big Ten Conference than the Pac-12, just simply because the Big Ten is the bigger conference and they have more pro prospects. They have more light shined upon those programs so that they can, you know, if you have more light shined on those programs, you have more exposure. More GMs and scouts are watching you, a greater chance of making it to the NFL. So I want to dive into that conversation a little bit, because there was a group of parents that protested near the Big Ten headquarters on Friday morning, and they aired their grievances about the league's decision to postpone the fall season. I got a few points to make when it comes to it, all right? So we'll get to that. Also, want to talk about just, and again, these conversations are in lockstep with one another. The false positives that we have seen in the National Football League and how they have been tied to a certain lab in New Jersey that basically, you know, the NFL is trying to, of course, have a season as well. And they are using these tests processed by this New Jersey lab that have been coming back positive, but these people who have tested positive, these players who have tested positive, have gone through additional testing, and then they all test negative. So it's just a big mess when it comes to this, and this affects somewhere near the neighborhood of 11 NFL teams. So I'll dive into that as well. And on the back end of the show, we'll have weekend winners for you guys. I want to talk about DJ's ridiculous weekend on the golf course. I tried, DJ. I tried to go out there and keep up with you yesterday. not quite the same results, but I must say I am playing the best golf of my life right now, and I'm loving it. But DJ was awesome. So spoiler alert, he would definitely be one of my weekend winners. And also, I want to talk about the NBA playoffs as well in the weekend winners category. And I want to touch upon one particular player who put on an NBA performance for the ages after being listed as questionable prior to yesterday afternoon's LA Clippers and Dallas Mavericks game. And he ended up with the game winner. And for those who paid attention at all to the sporting world, yesterday, you guys know the player I'm talking about, all right? So I'm going to give him a big salute and talk about how, you know, that Dallas Mavericks team is so interesting, because they have a couple of Michigan Wolverines who are contributing in major ways right now. So I do want to touch upon that as well. I know Michigan State fans out there are saying, oh, boy, do you really have to do that, Al? But, I mean, you know, I've tried to ignore it for too long, but, you know, these brothers are balling. In addition to another player who's in the NBA bubble who plays with the Miami Heat. So the Wolverines have been surging, I must admit, and it's been kind of cool to see their development leading to this moment of their NBA careers. And before I proceed as well, I do want to say happy Kobe Bryant Day to all out there. Today is Kobe Bryant Day, and I have more on that in this next segment, on the back end of our quick hit headliners. But let's get to that right now. And again, I do want to let you guys know that you can weigh in multiple ways in which you can weigh in. You can pick up that phone, call us at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voice message at that number. You can weigh in courtesy of social media. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News, or just simply leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. But let's proceed to give you what you need. Again, here are your quick hit headliners. All right, and let's start here. Michigan State football news, folks. As the MSU football team has landed its first four-star recruit of the Mel Tucker era. That news came across Twitter on Saturday, seeing as though offensive lineman Gino Vandermark from St. Joseph Regional High in New Jersey, he became the Spartans' 13th committed player for the 2021 class, picking MSU over finalists Nebraska, Rutgers, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Arizona State. So, again, offensive lineman Gino Vandermark from New Jersey becomes the first four-star recruit for Mel Tucker. The 6'5", 295-pound Vandermark, who is a four-star guard, according to 247 Sports. He is the third offensive lineman in Tucker's first full recruiting class. He joins East Lansing tackle Ethan Boyd and fellow New Jersey product guard Kevin Wingington II. Vandermark is from Montville, and Wingington is 70 miles away in Princeton. So Mel Tucker and his coaching staff certainly working that New Jersey area. All right, awesome stuff there. Okay, and you know, I mentioned this false positives COVID-19 testing problem in the National Football League, and I'm going to dive more into the details later on this hour, but you know, this is affecting a lot of different NFL teams right now and has become an unneeded headache right on the brink of a new NFL year, right? Just not needed, right? And you know, I brought you guys a story 2 weeks ago in which Matthew Stafford, it was said that, you know, he had tested positive, and then his wife, Kelly Stafford, came out and, like, bashed the NFL because it eventually came out that it was a false positive. And, you know, it turns out that this is a major problem around the league based on what's happening with this this partnership with the National Football League and a New Jersey lab. So Matty Staff isn't the only player that has been hit with false positives. In fact, there have been several more. Detroit is using that lab in New Jersey, and the NFL is now investigating after a rash of positive COVID-19 tests over the weekend. Check it. The New York Jets had 10 positive tests on Saturday alone, canceled their walkthrough on Saturday night, and closed their training center on Sunday morning. But subsequent tests revealed every player who tested positive, check this, was actually negative. Now, the Chicago Bears, the Buffalo Bills, the Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers, and Detroit Lions are among the teams. It's slated to be around about 11 teams that use the lab as well. So the Lions have had a handful of false positives from the lab in question. Another turned up over the weekend and forced the player to sit out Sunday's practice. Now, the player later took a rapid test, and guess what? That test turned up negative. So if you have a testing problem like this in the National Football League, how do you contain it? How can you trust it? And how can you fully clear those players to play? And if I'm a player, I mean, you're playing with my money at the end of the day. So I don't know, man. It's just a big, big mess. I'm going to get more into that in just a moment. I do want to give a rare salute to the Detroit Tigers, seeing as though the Tigers won their first series against the Cleveland Indians in 2 years, since 2018. How crazy is that, right? They beat the Tribe 7-4 on Sunday afternoon at Progressive Field to take 2 of 3 in the weekend set. Tigers starter Tariq Skubal, He struck out five batters over the course of 2 1/3 innings of work before giving away to Daniel Norris, who pitched 3 2/3 scoreless innings. Collectively, they struck out 9 over 6 innings, allowing only a single run that came on the first batter of the game. Now, the Tigers, now sitting at 11-15, they return home today to open up a 7-game homestand against the Chicago Cubs. Rookie Casey Mize will be making his second start for the Detroit Tigers, his debut start at Comerica Park here in the D. So, yeah, the Tigers. First series win against the Indians in 2 years. How about that? All right, I brought up DJ. I brought him up multiple times, actually, to start the show. But Dustin Johnson, I mean, this was like a Tiger Woods-esque type of performance. You know, remember like in the early 2000s when Tiger Woods was really asserting his dominance and stating his claim as the greatest golfer of all time, blowing out the field by like, you know, 20, 30 strokes. Well, Dustin Johnson, you know, he had a prime Tiger-esque type weekend, as he had the win wrapped up well before he stepped up on that first tee on Sunday. Johnson, after pushing to a 5-shot lead on Saturday, he flew to 30 under on the week to win the Northern Trust by a whopping 11 strokes. 11 strokes, folks. Now, the win launched him into the number one spot in the world in the FedEx Cup standings. And again, he reclaimed the top spot in the world golf rankings for the first time in more than a year. So number one in the FedEx Cup standings and number one golfer in the world. Johnson, he finished the day with an 8-under par, 63, after an eagle and 4 birdies on his front nine to solidify his spot atop the leaderboard. And from there, he made a pair of birdies while crushing on the back nine. Even while wading through a weather delay in his final few holes, he picked up his second win of the season. So Dustin Johnson beats the field by 11 strokes to win the Northern Trust. His 30 under tied the second lowest score related to par posted in a 72-hole event on the tour since 1950. How incredible is that? And you guys know I'm the biggest Tiger Woods fan in the world. When it comes to Tiger, well, it was just good to see him out there playing. Tiger was not great over those 4 days. So Tiger is just trying to find some kind of rhythm right now. This is a weird story, a shocking story. And I had to do a double take when I looked at my phone when this broke yesterday, but the Baltimore Ravens have now terminated the contract of Earl Thomas following an altercation with fellow safety Chuck Clark. Now, the heated exchange began when Clark was not happy about Thomas's positioning during a team drill. At one point, Thomas raised his fist. Before he and Clark were separated by teammates and coaches, they continued to argue before Clark left the practice field and went inside the practice facility. Now, Thomas was sent home following the incident, and then he did not suit up the following day. Clark, he left the field after the exchange, but was at the next day's practice. Wide receiver coach David Culley said that Thomas's absence was, quote, an organizational decision. I mean, we're talking about Earl Thomas here. I mean, Earl Thomas, I think, is in, you know, he's in an NFL Hall of Famer. I mean, when you look at his stats, they stack up against some of the best, in my opinion. And now the Ravens just cut ties with him. I mean, this tells me that this has been an ongoing thing, and Earl Thomas has been a bit of a headache. This can't be his just only incident, right, to where you just release a talent like Earl Thomas. But I will say this, you know, you guys know, man, respect the star. I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. And right now on the rumor mill, my Cowboys are seriously looking into possibly acquiring Earl Thomas. makes sense, right? I mean, Earl Thomas, look, he's got direct ties to Texas, right? I mean, he went to the University of Texas. He's from Orange, Texas. He's born there, right? So, yeah, we'll see. And Mike McCarthy, you know, new head coach of America's team. He already said that the Cowboys have looked into Earl Thomas. Ian Rappaport actually reported that. So, hey, we'll see what happens, man. But that would be a big, big get. Big, big get. We just don't want them headaches in Dallas. Just contain that and just play football, Earl, please. Okay, the NBA playoffs have been so, so thrilling. I have been loving each and every one of these games. I've been watching each and every series. And a quick update as to what occurred yesterday. Boston cruises and gets the sweep. There were two sweeps that were finalized yesterday. Boston over Philly, as Boston got a 110-106 victory. Excuse me. Toronto over Brooklyn. And check this score. 150-122 is the final. I mean, the scores that we're seeing in the bubble are crazy. You know, I posted the status. Even though I am loving the NBA right now, I mean, it is certainly an eyesore to watch the defense or a tremendous lack thereof on a daily basis in the NBA. I mean, you know, I put out a status. Look, man, I think Al Jordan, I think I could go out there and average about 15 points per game in today's league. I mean, it's easy. You know, I was watching the Denver and Utah series last night, and Utah ended up getting a 129-127 win. You had two players, in Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray, who scored over 50 points. Two opponents scoring over 50 points. And then, you know, the guys on the NBA on TNT crew, you know, inside the NBA, they were breaking things down and just showing how horrendous the defensive effort was on a simple pick and roll. The guy who's you know, playing defense, who's not getting picked and having to roll through, or I should say, pick up the man who got picked off, is just fading back and giving the offensive player a clear shot at the rim, a clear open look, 15-footer, or giving up the drive over and over and over. But Utah leads that series 3-1 now. So just one more game, and, you know, they'll send Jamal Murray and company packing. Michael Porter Jr., you know, that really talented team, but they're just not there yet. And then you had what arguably was, I don't even think you can make an argument, it was the best so far, the best game we've seen in the NBA bubble down in Orlando. Dallas and LA, the Clippers, going to overtime, and that win for the Mavericks, which tied the series up 2 games apiece, 135-133. The way the Mavs won that game, crazy, because it seemed as though it was over when Marcus Morris hit that three in the corner to put LA up by one. But a man by the name of Luka Doncic, who was nursing a really bad sprained ankle injury 2 days prior to, muscled it out, had a 40-point triple-double, and the game winner on the left wing over former Detroit Pistons guard Reggie Jackson, who shouldn't have been guarding Luka in the first place. Kawhi Leonard, you got to fight through that. You got to be guarding the best player during that moment. But Luka hits the three. Nice tribute to Kobe Bean Bryant on his birthday. Happy birthday, Kobe. Happy belated birthday. Now he's 42 years old. Would have been 42 years old and still surreal that I'm saying would have been. But what an incredible performance by Luka Doncic, who I believe has the potential to be the greatest international basketball player of all time. You can see it. He's on that track, right? I mean, the kid is just 21 years old, and he's doing stuff like this already. All right, today at 1:30, Milwaukee and Orlando, as Milwaukee leads that series 2-1. At 4 p.m., Houston will try and get a 3-1 series lead over OKC at 4 p.m. At 6:30 p.m., Indiana tries to get one game out of this series. If they don't, Miami will sweep them. So Miami and Indiana, Miami with the sweep on the line at 6:30 on TNT. All these games, which, with the exception of the Milwaukee and Orlando game, which is on NBA TV, all of these games are on TNT. And then at 9 p.m., you've got this really entertaining series between the Portland Trail Blazers and the L.A. Lakers. L.A., they took a 2-1 series lead on Saturday night. So we'll see if Portland can even the score at 9 p.m. All right, in the NHL playoffs, we saw yesterday Boston beat Tampa Bay 3-2. Boston leads that series 1-0. And also the Las Vegas Golden Knights, they took a 1-0 series lead over Vancouver. Just an absolute blowout as Las Vegas won 5-0. Today, you can catch at 7 p.m. the New York Islanders versus the Philadelphia Flyers. Puck drop 7 p.m. again on the NBC Sports Network. Also on the NBC Sports Network, Dallas will take on Colorado 9:45 p.m. puck drop. And it's Kobe Bryant Day. Today is 8/24. 8/24. You know, the two numbers that Kobe Bryant wore for 10 years apiece. You know, first number 8 for 10 years, and then on the back end of his career, the back nine of his career, he wore the number 24 for 10 years. So fitting that 8/24 is Kobe Bryant Day, as, Los Angeles and Orange County has dubbed it Kobe Bryant Day, honoring the late L.A. Lakers star. Yesterday was Kobe's birthday as well, as he would have been, 42 years old. Tributes across the NBA, tributes across the world, period. And a 2016 L.A. City Council resolution actually declared August 24th as Kobe Bryant Day. And on the date of his jersey numbers that he wore on the team, the Orange County Board of Supervisors voted August 11th to declare August 24th as Kobe Bryant Day. Bryant was a resident of Newport Beach. On Sunday, the L.A. Dodgers honored the memories of Kobe and Gianna Bryant on what would have been his 42nd birthday, and during ceremonies before the 11-3 victory over the Colorado Rockies, Dodgers players donned Kobe Bryant's number 8 and 24 jerseys. And the team played a tribute video narrated by retired broadcaster Vince Scully. So, a lot of hearts are heavy right now. And looking at what has been 2020, it really began, at least for me, just how crazy and how down this year has been. It began for me with the death of Kobe Bryant, in late January. When that happened, I'm not going to lie, I wept like a baby. And, it rocked the world of sports fans everywhere. I mean, I grew up with Kobe Bryant. I grew up watching him. I wasn't the biggest Kobe Bryant fan. I became more of a fan of his, near the end of his career, because he was competing against my Detroit Pistons for a while, and I was an Allen Iverson guy more than I was a Kobe Bryant guy. But as I got older and as Kobe got older, I began to respect his game so much, and I started to realize just how much he reminded me with his play of my favorite athlete of all time, and Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And that's when I really locked in, because it was like seeing a Jordan 2.0 whenever he would come on TV, and then learning about his mamba mentality and that cutthroat mentality, which is Jordan-esque as well. That's when I really became a big fan of his, man. And I watched his Kobe Bryant's Muse Showtime documentary, which was unbelievable. And now I'm actually currently reading, as I look to my left here, I'm gonna read at least 3 chapters today in honor of Kobe Bryant, but I'm actually going through it every single day though. But the Kobe Bryant book, Mamba Mentality, look, even if you're not a basketball fan, there are so many life lessons in it. Give it a read. So, Kobe, we miss you, my man. Rest in peace, Gianna as well, who was going to be a budding WNBA star, and everybody who lost their lives on that fateful day in late January on that helicopter. You just never know. You just never know, right? Appreciate every day you got on this world, folks. Appreciate every day. All right, well, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about this lab out in New Jersey that is cranking out false positives and causing the NFL to just rip out its hair as we speak. And also a very interesting piece done by Sports Illustrated in which they talked to doctors who were polled on whether or not the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, and the MLB should be playing sports right now. I'll bring to you those results as they polled nearly 150 doctors with expertise related to COVID-19. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. It is a wild, wild time we're currently living in. We all know that. And for fans here in the Greater Lansing area, I mean, our little sports hearts were ripped out from our chest and stomped on now 2 weeks ago after we heard the announcement from Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren and him making it known that, look, there will be no Big Ten football this fall, meaning that there will be no Michigan State football this fall, meaning that Saturdays just aren't going to feel the same. I still just can't put myself in a mindset that will allow me to be totally comfortable with waking up on a Saturday and not getting ready to watch College game day. And then if it's a home game, getting ready to throw on, you know, my shirt and tie, get my notes ready, and then drive over to Spartan Stadium and, you know, for my normal pregame routine to get ready to cover MSU football. But or if they're on the road, you know, just getting ready to watch MSU play. It's just going to be very, very weird. So for football fans in general, I mean, we're really holding on to the NFL getting this thing right, figuring out a way to play these games safely and controlling the outbreak. Because there's going to be outbreaks. When you talk, the thing about this is that when you talk about the NBA and you look at what's happening in the NBA and the NHL for that matter, I mean, it's so different because those sports, one, the NBA is in a bubble. You know, the NBA is certainly a contact sport and these guys don't have on equipment that shield their face. But they are in a bubble. They are conducting tests very frequently. And they know who has the virus or not. And players are surprisingly, because this is the big criticism that I had, they are surprisingly staying in the bubble, focusing on just basketball and balling out, which is tough to do because, you know, as many of these players have noted, like LeBron James, the biggest voice of them all, it's tough being away from your family for this long, being away from your children, if you have children, for this long, just being with yourself and your teammates and the coaching staff and trainers, focusing on basketball every single day. That's tough. Mentally, that's tough, yeah. But hey, suck it up. You're getting paid millions of dollars, all right? That's how I also feel about it. But, you know, it's not an easy thing. But because of how structured it is and how everybody's being disciplined and staying inside the Orlando bubble on the Disney Resort, you're able to control it. You know, with the NHL, that's different as well. I mean, one, just the nature of the NHL, of hockey, I should say. I mean, playing on ice, you got these face masks on. There's contact, but it's just different. It's different. With football, you're dealing with many more players. It's just such a mass amount of people. When you talk about just one NFL team, it's just such a mass amount of people. It's impossible to find somewhere in which you can keep all of these guys in one bubble and trust. I mean, you're talking about a 53-man roster. You know, that's so many different players and other personnel associated with every single team. It's impossible to find one area that can accommodate that amount of people where you can play sports and have, you know, set scheduled practices so that everybody is, you know, on a fair playing field. It's like, it just, I don't know logistically how you can do it. And You know, right now, you know, the fan in me is hoping that, you know, you can get this season to play out. But realistically, I just don't know. Just don't know. So, you know, I'm holding on to that hope right now. But I'm not real confident. And, you know, there was a poll actually put out. And I want to get to this SI poll real quick before I talk about, you know, the false positive situation that is causing NFL execs and players and GMs to just be beyond frustrated. I can only imagine. But there was an SI survey, Sports Illustrated survey, in which they polled nearly 150 doctors with expertise related to COVID-19. And doctors say that they would play in the NBA and the NHL, but not the NFL and the MLB. So, you know, right now, they really worry that COVID-19 could cause many health problems down the road because you just don't know. There's so much that we're learning about this virus on the daily. There's so many doctors out there doing research on long-term health effects and just having just to wait. We just don't know everything about the virus yet because we are still in the preliminary stages of this pandemic. We really are. So, for the most part, these doctors say that sports played outside a bubble are not worth the risk. Even for young, healthy athletes who get paid millions of dollars to play. So, check this. Sports Illustrated asked doctors with expertise related to COVID-19 around the country, if your full income came from playing in one of the four major U.S. men's professional sports leagues, how likely would you be to play? Well, these are the results. Roughly 90% of the 146 doctors who responded to SI survey said that they would definitely or probably play in the NBA, which again has that built-in lockdown bubble in Orlando, or the NHL, which has two bubbles in Canada. The bubble is the key. But majorities said they probably or definitely would not play in the NFL or Major League Baseball under current protocols. I mean, baseball is traveling still. The NFL, again, just the sheer mass of trying to control one NFL team, one football team, and you combine that with every team in the NFL. So 62% say that they would not play in the NFL. 59% say that they will not be playing in the MLB. They would not be playing in the MLB if they were a player. One doctor called the MLB's plans, quote, a traveling infection hub. Several doctors said MLB's COVID-19 outbreaks, which have forced 14 teams to postpone 42 games, were easy to predict. It was a no-brainer. This is going to happen. Yet doctors said that they would be even less inclined to play in the NFL, which has a similar plan to the MLB's, but for a more physically intimate sport. This is what Parveen Garg is quoted as saying in this piece. He is a cardiologist at USC. He said, quote, you're going to run into worse issues than what the MLB has been facing. Only 8.3% of doctors said that they would definitely play in the NFL if their full income depended on it. Before training camps began earlier this month, 67 players decided playing wasn't worth the risk, opting out of the season compared to the 6, 10, and 19 players who opted out of the NHL, MLB, and NBA. And in light of the turbulence the MLB has already experienced, Many of the doctors that Sports Illustrated spoke to doubted that the NFL would be able to play its full slate of the 256 regular season games, plus the playoffs, and, oh yeah, throw in the Super Bowl. So, you know, again, SI emailing this survey to 1,100 doctors with expertise related to COVID-19, asking that simple question: given each league's current approach to the pandemic and your knowledge of the virus, would you play in the NBA, NHL, NFL, and MLB? And trying to put yourself in that mindset, listeners, I'm asking that question to you. What would you do? Because it varies depending on the sport and depending on the protocol of that particular sport, right? The NBA bubble, yeah, I would probably play now. I'm not even going to lie. I was so against the NBA. And again, let me knock on wood, because we're still getting through the first round of the NBA playoffs. We still got a lot of basketball to play. But I didn't think this was going to work. I was having conversations with many people, like, and I'm telling them, like, look, you better enjoy it now. Enjoy as much NBA basketball as you can, because this thing ain't going to last. You really trust these multi-million-dollar NBA players who are so bougie? You really trust them to stay in this bubble the whole time and not venture out and not cause some kind of crazy outbreak? Look at Lou Williams, especially when that Lou Williams story came out. And shout out to Lou Williams. He had like 30-plus points yesterday in that Mavericks versus Clippers game. But sweet Lou wanted some chicken wings, went to an adult joint, got caught, and had to quarantine. And I'm like, yep, that right there is a small window into what we going to get. But no, I've been wrong. I have been totally wrong. Looking at how the NBA has been able to contain this thing, man, and that's why I'm sitting here behind the mic. So far, Adam Silver and the NBA has gotten it right. And it looks like the bubble is the key. Same thing out in the NHL right now. The NHL with two bubbles. You're seeing what's happening there. But the MLB and the NFL right now are basically saying, we're going to test a lot. We're going to try and be safe day in and day out when it comes to practice. And that's how we're going to handle this thing. That's how they're going to go about doing this. But if you don't have a bubble, you're opening yourself up. So I'm asking you, what would you do? What would you do if you were a professional athlete who played one of these four sports? You know, because again, for me, it varies depending on the sport. What would you do? That's what I want to ask. Leave us a voicemail, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I'll roll it in on tomorrow's current sports, okay? I also have to note about the craziness that's happening right now. You know, the NFL is already trying to figure this thing out, and they already have so many different obstacles to overcome here. But then you have an issue with the testing, and that's the big problem too. Here in America, we have not figured out how to create an efficient and effective testing system. And we're months into this pandemic now, and we still have yet to figure this out. I mean, people are still taking tests and having to wait, you know, like up to 2 weeks before they get a result. And during that time, you could be out there and infecting other people, not even knowing it. It's crazy to me, but it even makes it further complicated if you do take a test and it's a false positive, meaning that you take the test and you're found to have the virus, you're positive, and then you retake it and you're negative. Like, what is going on right now? It's a major issue right now with this New Jersey lab. And again, if it's happening at this New Jersey lab, how many other labs is this happening? You have to ask that question. You know, this is coming from Tom Pelissero, who covers the NFL. He tweeted out a total of 77 tests from 11 NFL teams processed by the same New Jersey lab came back positive from Saturday's COVID-19 testing, per a league source. All 77 individuals underwent an additional point of care test, and check it, all tested negative. Under the NFL NFLPA protocol, the original tests are also being retested and all the results of those have been negative as well. Further evidence of a lab issue that caused now what appears to be 77 false positives. I'll repeat that again. Further evidence of a lab issue that caused what now appears to be not 1, 2, 3, not 4, 5, 6, 77 false positives. How do you trust it? How do you trust it? How do you operate practice? How do you deem who's healthy and who's not if you don't know who's got the virus, because these tests have shown to be inaccurate and misleading? And yes, the Detroit Lions have fallen victim to this. The Bears, Jets, Vikings, Steelers. The Bears said they learned yesterday that they have identified 9 players / staff as positive. And they postponed morning practice, but who really knows, because they're using that same lab. Adam Schefter tweeted out, the Jets had 10 false positive COVID tests this weekend. The Bears had 9 false positive tests this weekend. The Vikings had 12 positive tests, presumptive positive tests from that same New Jersey lab. It's a mess. It's a mess, man. So, yeah, that also will weigh into whether or not I'm playing. And when it comes to the NFL is not looking very promising right now. All right, let's hit our final break. When I come back, I'm going to put a bow on today's current sports. We'll have weekend winners for you. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Weekend winners to close out the hour. As we got about, what, 3 minutes left? Man, time flies. Time flies, folks. But for me, I got to go with Luka Doncic as one of my weekend winners. I mean, this dude, 2 nights prior to yesterday, I mean, he was out there and had a really bad sprained ankle. Really bad. And the Mavericks ended up losing that game to the LA Clippers in this quarterfinal round of the NBA playoffs. And it didn't look good. I remember he like hobbled off. For those who watched that game or saw the highlights, he hobbled off the court on one leg, tried to come back and play, looked over to coach Rick Carlisle and said, "Nah, man, I can't do this." Went back to the bench, started getting treated for the ankle injury. He had his palms in his face, totally angry. It didn't look promising. He was questionable coming into yesterday's game. Big game, too. Mavs down 2-1. He goes out there and puts on one incredible, incredible performance. And has a 40-point triple-double. Plus the game winner. Luka, you the man. You the man. I'm gonna have more on Luka later on this week, especially seeing how this series goes between the Clippers and the Mavs. The Clippers are my NBA Finals pick. And yes, I've been getting this a lot too. Yes, I am still rocking with Dame Dalla, Damian Lillard, and the Portland Trail Blazers to beat the LA Lakers in 6 games, I should say. Okay, stop it. I'm not nervous. Lakers had a great game. LeBron played amazing on Saturday, but I'm not nervous, folks. It's a series. All right, the Lakers have stormed back. They've won 2 straight since going down 1-0. A lot of basketball left to play. We'll see what happens tonight at 9 p.m., all right? So Luka, gosh, he's so good. I got to give him a big shout-out. Also, I've been praising Dustin Johnson all hour. I mean, looking at what he did throughout those 4 rounds, wow. Amazing, right? I mean, geez, she was in a complete zone. And last but not least, Kobe Bryant. The legacy of Kobe Bryant. You know, it's Kobe Bryant Day, 8/24/2020. And we miss you, man. He was such an inspiration to so many. And we just miss you, Bean. We'll see you on Tuesday, folks. Be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people.